How would you like to attend a conference and hear Paul Meyer, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, David Menton, Chris Rosebrough, Jonathan Fisk, and Will Wheaton? You're invited to the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
As Lincoln warned, when you empower judges or respect the claims of power of judges to do that kind of thing, to engage in that kind of jurisprudence, you give up Republican government. You abandon democracy.
From his perspective, there's no distinction between a person who believes what the Bible teaches about homosexuality and a person who would physically assault a student who identifies himself as gay.
It's like hiding the penicillin for a child in applesauce. The hope is that if we can get you to come and learn about parenting, we're going to sneak in a couple little references to a form of the gospel.
Nebraska Oregon students love Issues, etc.
When we hear the term fundamental right, I think that probably has a popular connotation for people who hear it. May not be exactly the same thing as a legal definition of that. Society kind of runs on these things. Underneath all of it, beneath our laws, in a lot of ways, the things that govern the way we govern ourselves are these notions of these rights that are fundamental. Our Constitution will say inalienable. They cannot be taken away or withdrawn from the people by any power. That they are grounded in something. Well, something greater than ourselves, greater than our laws, and greater than our documents and governments. Well, recently, the European Parliament adopted a report that referred to abortion as a fundamental right. What should we note here? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon, March the 18th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will join us. We'll talk about this adoption of a report by the European Parliament calling abortion a fundamental right a little bit later. Our series, Looking Forward to Sunday Morning, according to the three-year lectionary, we're going to have Jesus predicting his death, and he gets a strange request from two of his disciples. Dr. Carl Fikencher will be our guest. Jeff Walton will join us from the Institute on Religion and Democracy. Very recently, the largest Presbyterian church body in the United States, the Presbyterian Church USA, has decided to adopt a redefinition of marriage to include same-sex marriage. We'll see what Jeff Walton has to say about that. And Phil Magnus will join us in the last half hour of the program. We'll spend some time with him talking about an odd fact, but it is actually not that uncommon. Four of the finalists for the popular singing competition here in the United States, American Idol, have said that they began their public singing careers where else but in church. We'll talk about church and music with Phil Magnus in the last half hour of Issues Etc. You can join us for the next 2 hours with questions or comments. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Or our beloved on-demand listeners, feel free to use that Issues Etc. comment line. It's always open for you, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the adoption of a report by the European Parliament calling abortion a fundamental right, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. He's a regular guest, distinguished professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. He has authored and edited more than 50 books, including Christ as Center and Circumference. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back.
Thank you.
When we say fundamental right, or when a report like this adopted by the European Parliament refers to abortion as a fundamental right, what are they saying?
Well, the concept of fundamental right can be looked at theologically, or it can be looked at legally. In terms of the political situation, the notion arose in the 18th century when it was clear that the English Parliament was passing laws that were offensive to the humans who were living in the Western Hemisphere. And therefore, the colonists opposed this kind of thing and set out a constitution in which fundamental rights were, in general, defined. They were defined so that the legislature, the parliament, couldn't pass laws that would be against the basic assumptions of what a human being consisted of and what the human being ought to do. And so, in subsequent centuries, constitutions have been the way of limiting parliaments or legislative bodies from passing laws that would be obnoxious to the fundamental understanding of what human beings are and what they should be allowed to do. And the problem here is, of course, that the European Parliament has made a declaration that abortion is a human right. Now, it's important to understand, first of all, that the European Parliament is not really a parliament. Okay? A parliament passes laws. A parliament is like the U.S. Congress. They pass laws, and these laws, therefore, become effective for the country in which they operate. But the European Parliament is not a lawmaking body. All it can do is to present ideas and declarations, and it can organize seminars, it can write papers, it can publish in the newspapers and in the media, but what it cannot do is actually to pass law. Law has to be passed by the legislature or the parliament of an individual European country. And therefore, this is, in a sense, a tempest in a teapot. They can huff and they can puff and they can talk about abortion as a human right, but this doesn't have any legal force or effect.
Okay. In other words, this is a kind of paper tiger in terms of even coming from the European Union. It doesn't have doesn't ultimately have any effect on what any individual member state, the states actually there, will or have to do.
Yes, exactly. And in any case, the European Court of Human Rights has indicated clearly that on the abortion issue, this is going to be up to the individual governments, to the individual states, because there is a wide diversity of opinion on abortion in Europe. The southern European countries, those that are particularly Catholic in background, are, of course, dead against abortion. The northern European countries that were the inheritors of the Reformation, unfortunately, have moved from the Reformation, from a biblical position, to a kind of Enlightenment humanism. And the northern European countries, of course, are perfectly relaxed about the whole abortion issue. And the European Court of Human Rights is not going to force any country into a frame of reference in which that country would not feel comfortable.
When we survey the landscape of Europe generally, you've already talked here about the diversity. Where would be the strongest opposition? You mentioned countries that still have a strong cultural influence from the Roman Catholic Church, where would you find the strongest opposition to the thinking that's been expressed in this report adopted by the European Parliament?
Well, certainly Italy and Portugal, and though it's not a southern European country, Ireland. Ireland is probably the most strongly, at least traditionally, has been the most strongly Roman Catholic country in Europe. And in Ireland, abortion is illegal, okay? Therefore, the Irish found this particular attempt on the part of socialists in the European Parliament especially obnoxious and objectionable.
I'm wondering about our situation in the United States. is it, in fact, at least by judicial fiat, has abortion in the United States been declared a fundamental right in our sense of the term, whether we like it or not?
Well, it hasn't been declared a fundamental right, but of course the Roe versus Wade decision made abortion on demand during the first trimester of pregnancy mandatory. During the first trimester of pregnancy, it is impossible for any American jurisdiction to limit the right to abortion. Then it's possible during the second and third trimesters progressively to increase the prohibitions. This means that abortion on demand in the United States is indeed the situation during the critical first 3 months, 4 months of pregnancy. Unless Roe versus Wade is reversed or modified in some way by the Supreme Court of the United States, that situation will remain.
So in effect, then, for at least the first 3 months of pregnancy, the 1973 court and subsequent courts have asserted, in effect, that this is a fundamental right. And then beyond that, in the second and third trimesters, that is for individual states to make up their own minds.
Well, yes, this is right. The Supreme Court in Roe versus Wade argued that the right to abortion during those first 3 months is connected with the right to privacy. And the right to privacy means that the pregnant woman does not have to take anybody's advice about anything and doesn't have to reveal the fact that she's pregnant beyond the ambit of the physicians that are treating her. Now, the irony of this is, of course, that the right to privacy is nowhere mentioned in the Constitution of the United States, and the court has considered this to be a penumbra of the Constitution. That is, that it sort of follows extrinsically to rights that are specifically defined. And, you know, this is really sad, because once you start reasoning that way, virtually anything can become a penumbra, because you can connect it one way or the other with some right that is explicitly set forth. You know, this is an example of the Supreme Court of the United States engaging in judicial activism and judicial legislation. This kind of thing ought to be up to the people, the people ought to be able to determine this by their elected legislators, and this should not be something that was decided fiat by the Supreme Court. But there's this tendency everywhere, and the socialists in the European Parliament, of course, are pushing for exactly that kind of thing in Europe, across the board.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. We're talking about the adoption of a report by the European Parliament calling abortion a fundamental right. He is Distinguished Research Professor of Philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin, a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States, an author and editor of more than 50 books, including Christ to Center and Circumference. Find out more about his books at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. We'll be right back.
It's amazing to me that one of the greatest life, in fact, the greatest life ever lived, that of Jesus of Nazareth, has come under attack for being non-historical.
Dr. Paul Meyer talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
If we use all the rules of historical research, we find that Jesus passes all those tests perfectly, and that indeed there is easy documentation that I can give to every Christian to prove that, yes, there was a historical Jesus of Nazareth beyond all debate.
You can meet and hear Dr. Paul Meyer making the case for the historical Jesus Friday, June 19th and Saturday, June 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is located 15 miles east of St. Louis. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Attendance is limited to 400. The Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan gathers to receive our Lord's gifts in word, baptism, and supper every Sunday morning at 9:15. Bible study at 11. Join us at 4219 Park Lane in Door, or visit us on the web, epiphanydoor.org. Christ-centered, cross-focused, historic, confessional, liturgical. Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan. epiphanydoor.org. 616-681-0791.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkham. We're talking about the European Parliament's adoption of a report that calls abortion a fundamental right with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, Distinguished Research Professor of Philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin, a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States, director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and author and editor of more than 50 books, including Christus Center and Circumference. Our call-in number for questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Let's go to the phones and talk with Harry, who is listening in Arlington Heights, Illinois. Hi, Harry.
Hello, Dr. Montgomery. In no way am I countering anything you said. As a matter of fact, you got partially into it when you discussed the penumbra while I was on the line. But with regard to the attempted legislation by the European court, even if they could make a law for the European community, is it not true that another problem is that they could not make a law to grant the right for abortion, but could only pass a law to keep the community from interfering with the right to abortion?
Harry, thank you very much. Dr. Montgomery.
Well, first of all, the court doesn't make laws, and neither does the parliament make laws. The only laws that are made are those by the legislatures of the European countries that happen to be members of the Council of Europe. Okay, so it's important to get that clear. The fact that the Parliament of Europe has huffed and puffed and made this statement, which is due to the socialist delegates at the Council of at the Parliament, by the way, it isn't universally the case among all the people who are parliamentarians. The fact that the European Parliament is huffed and puffed and said this doesn't mean anything. This would be like my standing up in St. Louis and saying, lo and behold, all the people in St. Louis must recognize that there's a human right to abortion. I mean, this wouldn't mean a single thing, okay? So that's important. Secondly, I don't see the distinction between passing a law to allow for abortion or passing some kind of law which says you can't interfere with abortion. This would amount to the same thing, it would seem to me. So the real issue here is whether or not abortion is a human right. And ultimately, this is going to depend upon how you establish human rights. And these cannot be established legally as such. The legal definitions would have to derive from some other source, right? If fish get together and vote on the human on the piscatory rights of fish, that would not establish those rights. The only way to determine human rights is to determine what the Creator has established as human rights, the Creator of human beings. So you're going to have a revelation from God in which God Almighty says, listen, there are certain rights, and these are those rights. And as I've made clear in my book, Human Rights and Human Dignity, God does provide such guidance in Holy Scripture. And the right to abortion is certainly not included, just the opposite, because in Scripture, one begins one's life at the moment of conception. In sin did my mother conceive me. And you have the baby Jesus and John the Baptist in the womb, and they are human beings. The fact of the matter is you've got a human being from the moment of conception, and under those circumstances, if human life is worth anything, they have got to be protected. You do not abort, that is to say, kill a human being if you're going to stay with God's revelation.
So perhaps in a legal sense, wouldn't we be correct to point out that calling abortion a fundamental human right assumes that let's assume that they're talking about abortion all 9 months of gestation, simply assumes and does not in any way prove that the unborn are not human.
It's assuming that the unborn are not human. The right here that they're talking about is the right of the mother. What they're saying is that if you don't allow the mother to abort, you are violating the mother's humanity. You are not allowing her to develop as she would like to develop. You are forcing her to deal with an unwanted child, and so on and so on. This is simply a redefinition of human that will embrace the mother, but will not embrace the child in the womb, and the child in the womb has the complete genetic chromosomal pattern that the mother does. And so it's utterly absurd to try to use human rights in favor of the mother and not to use human rights in favor of the child. They both need to be protected and helped in this situation.
Does it also reframe the concept of human rights in that it assigns a fundamental right to women that is intrinsically inaccessible to men? Is there a problem there?
Well, yes, probably, although since the people who are doing this are not a Christian and they're not dealing with it from the standpoint of revelation, they could very well expand this to the rights of the father, for example. They could say that the child needs to be eliminated because that could create problems for the father as well. They have not done this. The pro-life movement has been a strongly feminist movement that has concerned itself with protecting the rights of the pregnant woman. And that's also spilled over, of course, into the marriage area, where it's extremely difficult for fathers to maintain their connections with their children after a divorce. It's much easier for the wife to do so, or the former wife, the woman to do so. The thing is that if you use secular standards for defining fundamental rights, you never get anywhere, because anybody can define these rights in any terms that feel comfortable to them. The only answer to this is to go back to Holy Scripture, to see what Scripture says about the value of the human being, and then to develop your concept of rights on that basis.
So if you had a minute or so to lay out this a basic argument before the members of the European Parliament about the error of their ways here, how would you state it to them?
Well, I would start by saying that they have no business attempting to determine this question. It's clear from the European history that this has to be something that is handled on the basis of national determination. But then I would say that in any event, it is impossible to determine the rights of human beings by way of the human beings themselves. You're going to have to go to the source of humanity, to God Almighty, and find out what he thinks human value is and how it should be protected. And that means that you're going to have to pay attention to Holy Scripture, which is the only justifiable revelation from God. And if you don't do this, everything is up for grabs.
Dr. Montgomery, I understand that there's no room in the end for this summer's International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights?
Well, we are, in fact, overbooked, and therefore those who would like to participate in this remarkable Institute of Advanced Studies in Apologetics need to think in terms of 2016. And we are already accepting applications of people who want to attend in July of this following year. And we would strongly advise people who are listening to this program to send in their deposit and commit themselves to 2016. In the last few years, there has been a remarkable increase in interest in the International Academy. And we are limited to 20 participants. And therefore, if one wants to go, one really needs to get in touch with us as soon as possible for the following year.
Folks, you'll find a link to the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, held annually in Strasbourg, France, under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is Distinguished Research Professor of Philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales. He's a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. And he's authored and edited more than 50 books, including Christ as Center and Circumference. Dr. Montgomery, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for your time.
You're most welcome.
When we come back on this Wednesday afternoon, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Picking up where we left off, looking forward to Sunday morning, we'll be walking through the Old Testament reading, the Epistle and the Gospel for this coming Sunday according to the 3-year lectionary. But we'll begin with the hymn of the day, My Song is Love Unknown. Dr. Carl Fikencher, and looking forward to Sunday morning right after this.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of issues, etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending the faith, teaching the truth. Issues, etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.